Okay. Good morning. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 41. Okay, Genesis chapter 41. Now, it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile. And lo, from the Nile there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them in the Nile, from the Nile, ugly and gaunt, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke. And when he fell asleep and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of grain came up on a single stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 ears, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now it came about in the morning that his spirit was troubled, so he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dreams. But there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I would make mention today of my own offenses. Pharaoh was furious with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. And we had a dream on the same night. He and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came about just as he interpreted for us. So it happened. He restored me in my office, but he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. Behold, 7 cows, fat and sleek, came up out of the Nile, and they grazed in the marsh grass. And lo, 7 other cows came up after them, poor, very ugly and gaunt, such as I had never seen for ugliness in all the land of Egypt. And the lean and ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows. And when they had devoured them, it would not be detected that they had devoured them, for they were just as ugly as before. Then I awoke. I saw also in my dream, and behold, 7 ears, full and good, came up on a single stalk. And lo, 7 ears withered, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed the 7 good ears. Then I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 thin ears scorched by the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt, and after them 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land. But the abundance will be unknown in the land because of that subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. Now, as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. And now, let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. And let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people should do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put the gold necklace around his neck. And he had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee. and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh named him, named Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah, and gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, as his wife. And Joseph went forth over the land of Egypt. Now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and he went through all the land of Egypt. And during the 7 years of plenty, the land brought forth abundantly. So he gathered all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt, and placed the food in the cities. He placed in every city the food from his own surrounding fields. Thus Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure. Now, before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore to him. And Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. And in the second, named the second Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. When the 7 years of plenty which had been in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, just as Joseph has said, then there was famine in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. And Joseph said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, you shall do. When the famine was spread over all the face of the earth, then Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. And the people of all the earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the earth. Amen. Wow, it's really long. Here's a devotion from this time. So 2 years have now passed since most likely the prison situation with the baker and the cupbearer. And so now it goes into a whole another episode. So Pharaoh has a dream, and you know, Pharaoh's a king, but he has dreams too, just like normal people. And so he's having this dream, and he's on the bank of the Nile. Now, you have to understand, in Egypt, for Egyptians, the Nile was everything. The Nile, probably maybe the closest, probably similarity is probably with the Indians, you know, India, what they think of the Ganges River. You know, the Ganges, they call it mother. That's why if you're ever around that area, as soon as someone dies, what do? They actually burn them right next to the Ganges, and their ashes go into the river. So thus, the process of reincarnation can start almost immediately. I mean, as soon as they die, they go to the bank, they wrap them in cloths and saffron, and burn them, and they throw them in. I actually saw one of these. It's really actually one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. In any case, and so they come to this place, and so he's standing before the Nile, which really represents Egypt and the splendor, the glory, everything. He sees his cows. I don't have to go through that because he explains what this means. And so all these things happen. Finally now the cupbearer finally comes to his senses in some way. And it's a really interesting passage. In verse 9, look what he says. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I would make mention today of my own offenses. So after 2 years, he finally says, you know what? I'm going to go to Pharaoh, and I'm going to fess up regarding my sin. Not dealing with, he's not talking about his offenses in relation to Joseph, in that he forgot about him. He's talking about there's a reason why he was thrown in prison. So for 2 years, he's in this, well, 2 years since he's restored back. And who, let me ask you a question, who convicts sin? Did I hear something? Oh, thanks, Pastor Nate. Holy Spirit. You know that, right? You knew that. It was just too early in the morning. Is that why everyone's just really quiet? So Holy Spirit convicts sin. Isn't it interesting? 2 years passes, and the Holy Spirit convicts this cupbearer of his offenses that he had done unto the king. Isn't that very interesting? God is working. He's doing these things behind the scenes. The Spirit of the Lord convicts this cupbearer, and he realizes, oh, you know, I better get right with Pharaoh. Even though he's been restored, but that really had nothing to do with him. It was just more as a whim, either the cupbearer or the baker, which one you want, you know, kind of thing. And unfortunately, they chose the baker to die. And so he's convicted of his offenses towards the king, and he relays the message. And part of that conviction, or part of relaying that conviction, is actually telling the story of Joseph. We had a dream, and there was this young Hebrew that that actually told us what's going on in this whole thing. And so then Joseph interprets this dream. He comes, he says, Pharaoh tells him the dream, and look at Joseph's response. This is how you know Joseph is ready. Remember yesterday we talked about the whole idea of waiting. That God has got something more in mind. Remember, Joseph asked the cupbearer, "Hey, when this is all done, make sure you tell Pharaoh about me and get me out of this situation." He's trying to work the angle for himself, and now he's coming to a place where he's kind of surrendered. And Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, "It's not in me, right? It's not me." He's totally gotten himself out of self. It's not me. There's nothing in me. Or actually a better translation is, apart from me, nothing good can happen. And so God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. And so he's saying, Pharaoh, it's not me. It has nothing to do with me. It's actually my God. He's the one that's going to do this for you. And so he speaks to Joseph, tells him the whole dream. Joseph tells him the interpretation. It seems good. Now, verse 32, now we're going to have our speaker, John Paul Jackson, who actually specializes in dream interpretation. But I'm not really good with dream interpretation, but I know this, that if you keep having the same dream over and over again, I think God is wanting your attention. I think God is wanting to do something. And that's what it says here in verse 32. It says, "Now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about." And so if you have a kind of a funky dream, you know, kind of like out in the middle, you know, like out of nowhere, and then it's okay to wait on the Lord a little bit and ask for another dream. It's a simple way of saying asking God for confirmation, especially it's like really crazy. You know how many crazy dreams we have every night? I had a crazy dream the other night. Actually, not me. My wife did, and she was really mad at me. Has ever happened to any of the married guys here? Yeah, I had this really crazy. I'm not going to tell you the dream, but she woke up. She was really mad at me for about 2 days. And stuff, and so, but I was like, it's just a dream. It didn't happen. Take it easy, you know, kind of thing. So in any case, and likewise, actually, I had some dreams, and like I had one dream where she like neglected me. She was like ignoring me when we're at a party or something. And I got up, I was really mad. I was mad for a few days. And I was like, you neglected me. The dream seemed so real. It wasn't real. But, you know, we get so emotional in it. So all these things happen, and so he makes this proposal, you know, get the grain. Joseph's kind of confidence now. Verse 34, "Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge," or before that, "Now let Pharaoh look for a man," verse 33, "discerning and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt." Now, I don't think Joseph is talking about himself, but, you know, he is talking about himself. You know what I mean? He's not promoting himself, but it just kind of turns out that way, which is pretty amazing. And then Pharaoh says, after the proposal, says in verse 3, the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and all his servants. He says, then Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?" He says, "Since God has informed you of all, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are." Now, let me just add this little statement a little bit. Egypt, and this is kind of why this is so God, okay? There is no other people on the planet where this thing can happen except in Egypt. There are no other people. Through the history of the Egyptian rulers, they have had slaves become kings. It's pretty amazing. There is no culture known during this time where that has happened. And so God orchestrates behind the scenes and sets Joseph in that place, even though he goes to prison. When we've been talking about that the last few days, even though all these things happen, the only place where you can go from the lowest to the highest on the face of the earth at that time is Egypt. It's the only place. And so you can, in understanding that, you can see how God has really orchestrated this whole thing. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't a mistake in some ways. It was unfortunate, but God had a purpose beyond what we can imagine. It's like Psalm 119, when he talks about thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It literally means God is arranging every step in this whole thing. When I was studying that, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Only God, can do something like this. He knows every culture on the face of the earth, and he knows that there's only one that you can go from a slave to a king, and so he chooses that culture. He is working behind the scenes, all these things that are taking place. I mean, it's amazing. I'll give you an example personally, how the enemy sought for evil, but God turned into good. When I was in Hong Kong in 1993, I share many times, I tore my ACL playing volleyball. And so I tear my knee up. I was actually ministering with the Hong Kong Volleyball Association. And so, they're national teams. And so, we're quite close. And so I mess up my knee, and which is tragic, especially for an athlete. And, my intention was actually to play semi-professional basketball here in Hong Kong. That was the whole point of me coming there. And also to do ministry, on the side. And I had all these things planned. So I tear my knee up playing volleyball. And so because I've got this connection with the Hong Kong Volleyball Association, I went to the best doctor. This is the best orthopedic surgeon in all of Hong Kong. And because it happens in Hong Kong, right, it's cheap. I mean, I could put the whole surgery on my credit card, which is crazy. Like in America, forget it, man. Having a ACL, reconstructive surgery, that's going to cost you $50,000-$60,000. But even as a foreigner in Hong Kong, you know how much it cost me? I still remember to this day. You know how much it costs? $1,200. That's ridiculous. I still didn't have the money, right? So I put on my credit card. But I go into the doctor's office, and is it running on? So I go into the doctor's office, and I need to have surgery right away. I mean, right away, because basically my ACL, it's strands, right? The strands are actually stuck inside my joint, so I can't actually move. The nerves and everything are actually all, and so my knee is basically in this angle, and if I try to move it up or move it down, I'm in excruciating pain. And so you need to have surgery right now, but there's no room. There's no operating tables, room to have surgery. And just check it out. As soon as he says that, I'm in his office. The next day, as soon as he says that, he gets a phone call, and a person that is scheduled for surgery tomorrow actually cancels. And next thing you know, I've got this 3-hour slot at a hospital to get my ACL surgery. So I go in, have my surgery done. I have to fly back to the U.S. now, so I can't stay in Hong Kong anymore. I have to fly back to the U.S., and I go to my university. I just graduated in May, and so I go back to my university, and I'm talking to my head trainer, who used to, because I used to play sports at this university. I go back to my head trainer and said, oh, man, I messed up my knee. I've got no job. I've got no money to pay for anything. And he says, you know what, Sam? Basically, I like you. I'm going to do your rehab for you for free. And so I would basically go to the university every day for about 2 hours. And while all the other athletes, and he's busy doing stuff, but he did basically my rehab for free. And then I was able to, go through that process. And then in that process, I get a call basically to become a pastor. And I look at that, and many times I've really meditated on that and just thought, even though, I would rather still have a very strong knee, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, but that event happening in my life actually changed my life. I mean, really. Honest to goodness, I would probably not be standing here in this pulpit, right now. I don't know what I'd be doing, to be perfectly honest. But sometimes it's these difficult moments in our life that actually change our lives. And all to say through that testimony is sometimes we forget or we don't understand the orchestration of God behind the scenes, of me being in Hong Kong, so I can afford the surgery, to different connections, that is given and whatnot. If this event would have happened in the States, I would probably still be paying off my surgery to this day. It's just a crazy scenario, and we see this happening in Joseph. Egypt is the only place where something like this can happen. So what does God do? God sends him to Egypt. He sends him, first of all, into Potiphar's house. We talked about the other day. Potiphar's house to learn the wisdom of man, to learn and have the skill set of ruling and have the skill set of public, of office and all these things. As Potiphar was in a really high place, and then he sends him to prison, most likely for 3 years. He sends him into prison to basically now learn the ways of God and to trust God. Joseph, let me give you the perspective. Joseph says he's 30 years old when he goes into the presence of Pharaoh during this time. He spends 3 years in prison. That's a tithe, 10%. He basically tithe difficulty for, now, this is not a message on giving or anything like that, okay? So I'm not talking about tithe in that way. But I think it's interesting, and I wonder how many of us are willing to tithe our life in a certain way to really, really learn the things of God. This is a pretty fair question, I think. To really be in that position, to really trust God, the tithe, it's the sacrificing in some way. Right? I mean, honest to goodness, most people are not willing to sacrifice 9 weeks to go through a discipleship class, which I think is just ridiculous, right? And you see, Joseph tithes 3 years out of the 30 of his life in that time to really, really learn the ways of God. And those 3 years, I mean, at this point is a tithe, but just like, we can never outgive God, God just gives. And those 3 years mark Joseph for the rest of his life, right? I mean, Joseph is marked for the rest of his life, the fruitfulness of God, this whole thing. So 30 years, if you want to just get an understanding, 17 years he goes to Egypt. Well, between Abraham and Joseph, you're talking about about 200 years pass, sir. About 200 years, if I'm not mistaken, passed through that time. Joseph goes into Egypt at 17 years old. He spends 13 years in Potiphar's house learning, 3 years in prison, which gets him here to this age of 30. And so he's in this place, and he does everything that he does. But notice now, you see how valuable those 3 years were in prison. And how do I know that? Well, he marries Asenath. Is given, and is the daughter of the priest of, it says Olam, but it's Heliopolis, is a city. And then he comes to this place, and look what he names his sons. This is how, not that you name your sons, it means anything, right? But he chooses Hebrew names for his kids. They all have this certain value for him. The first one he names Manasseh. Manasseh means making to forget. And so he's saying, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's house. He's it's a redemptive, You know, he's you know, all my troubles, and the phrase to forget all my father's household is not necessarily meaning like, oh, I forgot about all these, but it's more in terms of the forgiveness aspect. Okay, I'm able to forget, you know, what they've done to me, basically. And then the second son is named Ephraim, which means God has made me fruitful. The word means fruitfulness, you know, and you know, he's made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. That's like it's a Matt Redman song, right? I mean, it sounds like Matt Redman. And so it's amazing how this goes, and we see that those 3 years were huge for Joseph, because man, he really he's so changed in his character. He is so refined. I mean, those 3 years was like refining fire. And so he never lost sight. He's probably the only Hebrew in the whole land. The only one, and he still holds on. And I mean, it's quite amazing, this journey, you know, in Joseph. You know, I'm really liking this name Joseph a little bit. But we'll see, we'll see. All right, so let's close our eyes. Are you willing? You know, I mean, really, are you willing to tithe? Are you willing? And I'm not saying the Christian life is difficult, right? But it's because we're so sinful. It's because we're so self-centered and selfish. It takes the dealings of God to break us out of that. Remember who Joseph was? Joseph was the guy that was strutting around in his coat. He's saying, hey, you know, to all his brothers, hey, you know, I don't know what this means, but, you know, like, I saw this picture, and you guys are all going to bow down to me. I mean, what a guy, huh? And he changes all that into what he is. Sometimes, friends, difficulty is the greatest thing that can happen in your life. I know that by my personal experiences. I have so many. And I know many of you guys would be in this place and you had a difficult moment or moments, and there's a part of you that says, you know what, I wouldn't trade that for the world. Because now you're on the other side of that difficulty. You recognize the value of what God was doing in your character. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us today, and let's surrender. Let's surrender. This is a prayer that I prayed my senior year of university right after I got saved. When I came back from Hong Kong after 1992, I was here in the summer. I got saved in April. I finished my junior year in May. The end of May, I was in Hong Kong. I stayed here for 3 months. I started back in school in August. And this is a prayer that I prayed. I said, God, do anything to me that you may do everything through me. And I still remember that prayer to this day. It was a speaker speaking at one of our chapels. I think the first one before the year started, in a leaders meeting at our university. And he said, would you pray this prayer with us, you know, with me? And I remember praying that prayer, and I remember to this day, and I still pray this prayer all the time. Lord, do anything to me that you may do everything through me. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let's utter that prayer before Jesus. Let me read a verse from the Psalms. This is in relation to Joseph. Look what he says. And this is Psalm 105:16. It says, He called for a famine upon the land, and he broke the whole staff of bread. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons until the time that the word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him, and the rulers of peoples, and set him free. Made him lord of his house, and ruler over all his possessions, to imprison his princes at will, that he might teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and continues on. Right? Simple idea. All these things happen. It was a test. It was a test. Can I trust Joseph? Obviously, the answer is yes. When we have difficulties, a lot of times it's a test. Can I want to bless my son and daughter so much, but I need to trust them first. So he has us in the fire a bit. And listen, church, how you respond in the fire is going to be directly proportional to how God is going to bless you. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community that are going through cancer and different illnesses. Let's pray for God's hand to be with them. There's a new request, if you notice on the bottom, number one. This is Lois Choi. She's actually one of the leaders here in Hong Kong. And she's got a cancer all over her back. And so apparently the doctor has given her 6 months to live, but she's really believing and praying for God's healing over her life. So remember to lift her up. And so let's pray for our community. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with illness and need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal himself to them in physical healing, but also spiritual healing, forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community that's dealing with non-cancer illnesses. As an update, Hedan's father had a very successful surgery yesterday, so thank you for praying. Now they're just praying for his recovery now, and Really, they need to find the source of the bleeding as well. So let's continue to lift him up and their whole family. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's hand upon them and His provision. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray locally here. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's thank God for this amazing city that we live in. Let's continue to pray for the poor in Hong Kong and this huge wealth gap. Pray for revival. Let's pray that Hong Kong would truly be the city on a hill and a light to China. Let's pray for the churches here, international churches, local churches, ethnic churches. Pray for the Holy Spirit to really move. In particular, let's pray for Hong Kong Korean Church as well. Let's pray for YWAM, our friends there. Pray for SSI, Shanti Ministries, Master's Beauty, Sons and Daughters. Pray for Face-to-Face Ministries, Feed the Hungry, and CSW. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really lead and guide these ministries and our friends and that are ministering here. Let's lift them up and ask for God's grace in their life and anointing to minister. Let's ask God to bless our missions committee. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really use each one of the members there to lead in our missions pursuits, that really God will just really use them to open doors for that we can be involved in what God's doing all over the world. Let's pray. Let's pray for our local outreach. Pray for our community center where Febe meets. Pray for Igape, for the homeless ministry, SP Lights, prison ministry, Mother's Choice, and our translation ministry. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really lead these ministries and bless Pastor Sophia, Janella, other volunteers and leaders, and really more people will be involved in outreach. Let's pray. Let's cover our activities tonight, Friday night. Let's pray for SPU, pray for IP, pray for the EG discipleship class, McCain and Discovery Bay House Church. And let's pray for the presence of God to be with us as we gather together in community to learn, to grow, to pray. And let's pray that in every meeting that we would encounter God. Let's lift up. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's our prayer this morning. Lord, do anything to us that you may do everything through us, God. Lord, just like you used Joseph, Lord, before you could use him greatly, God, Lord, you wounded him deeply. But you did something within him, Lord, that can sustain the greatness, God, that you desire to do. And we feel the same way in our own lives. And so come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us, God. We love you, Lord. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. All right. Please have a great prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow as we continue the narrative of Joseph.